Warning, the following podcast may discuss topics of violence that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. Dating back to the founding of the United States of America, women have always been a part of its military service. Some served as spies, some disguised themselves as men to fight, but most served as nurses and caretakers for wounded troops. Regardless of what they did, a lot of women did whatever they could to help the war effort. During the Revolution, a few American commanders theorized that having women in some of the hospitals would be a much-needed morale boost and help for the men. So much so that General George Washington would ask Congress for a call to have women enter camps to aid the men. Eventually, the Second Continental Congress would go on to provide one nurse per 10 patients. In the 18th and 19th century, women, although they could not officially fight, were subjected to some of the same hardships that their male counterparts had to endure as they would accompany armies during the United States' battles during wars like the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, and of course, the American Civil War. Now, during the Civil War, more than 400 confirmed cases of women disguising themselves as men are recorded as they were tired of sitting on the sidelines and wanted to fight the same as their husbands, brothers, and fathers had been doing. When caught, the women would simply be ushered away from combat and basically told not to do it again. Those who did not fight served as nurses for some of the men, and some, like Clara Barton, would be fundamental in the creation of organizations that are still in use today, such as the Red Cross. Fast forward to World War I and World War II, and women were no longer able to follow men as they went off to fight, as the fighting took place halfway around the world. But now they were stepping up in another way. While the men shipped overseas to fight the wars, the women were taking their spots in the factories and were now playing a key role in creating the supplies needed for combat. In 1948, U.S. President Harry Truman would officially sign into law the Women's Armed Service Integration Act, allowing women to now take on role as full, permanent members of the armed forces. The creation of this act allowed hundreds of women, including my own mother, to enlist in the United States military and serve the same as men would. However, it was not until the 90s that they would be allowed combat roles on the front lines. As of 2019, female soldiers make up around 20% of active duty troops in the U.S. military, and when the time comes for them to show what they are made of, most do so in full stride. Tonight, we talk about one of these female soldiers who, for the lack of a better term, went above and beyond her expectations in combat. We are going to be talking about Staff Sergeant Leanne Hester, who became the first woman awarded the Silver Star since the Second World War. Hello and welcome back to Above and Beyond. As always, I'm your host, Philip Kesterson, and tonight before we begin, I have a couple things I want to go over. Again, I would like to announce that I have a second show in the works and I aim to release it in the next few months. I will be keeping you guys updated, so just be on the lookout for it. I'm going to mention it probably in the next few episodes. I'm also going to post relevant stuff on our Facebook page to keep you guys in the loop, so just be on the lookout. I also want to let you guys know that I caved and created a TikTok account for the podcast. Honestly, I'm a little unsure of what I will do with it, but if you would like to show your support by following it, you can find it by searching Above and Beyond Podcast or by clicking the link below that I provide. The last thing that I want to bring up is, as most of you know, February is Black History Month, so I will be doing a month of stories just for that. So if you have anyone you would like for me to cover, you can email me at above.beyondpodcast@gmail.com, or you can message the Facebook page by going to facebook.com/aboveandbeyondpodcast and clicking the message tab. I will get back to those as soon as I can, and I will try to have good episodes lined up for the month of February. And also, real quick, this episode is most likely going to be a rather short one. There's not a lot of information given in it, but considering the background for the story and who this woman was, who the soldier was, I felt it was important to share. I don't fully understand, but for some reason, it seems like the older a story is or the most recent a story is, it's very, very hard to come information by. Like, if I'm covering somebody in ancient Rome, there's not a lot of sources of that. But it also seems like if I'm covering someone who, for instance, like Dipperson Poon, the story that I covered with him, that happened in 2011. And there's not a lot of information on his life before or after the war. And then looking at tonight's episode, Leanne Hester, who the event of what she does takes place in 2005, and there's still not a lot of information on who she was before the war or what she did after. There's a little bit more than, say, Dipper Sodde Poon, but there's still very little. So this will be a rather short episode, but regardless, I'm going to get into it. Before we get into her story, though, we are going to kind of set a prelude and talk about the Iraq War a little bit. Now, in 2003, the Iraq War would officially begin as a surprise bombarding campaign by a U.S.-led coalition would unfold that would aim to catch the Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein by surprise and to locate a number of suspected weapons of mass destruction that supposedly the Iraqi government had. The mission was successful in ridding the world of Hussein. He would be captured in, I think, 2005, and then he would be executed in December of 2006. But while it was successful in this, it wasn't necessarily so successful in locating these WMDs. Following the bombing campaign, Iraqi forces were quickly overwhelmed and the city of Baghdad fell very shortly after the initial attack began. And the war would officially last around 8 years, but it would claim the lives of thousands of soldiers and civilians alike. By January of 2005, the coalition's efforts to establish a democratic regime seemed to be looking like it may work as thousands of Iraqi civilians turned out to vote in the country's first free election in over 50 years. Now, while showing up to polls, these voters were subjected to death threats and mortar strikes as extremist groups like Al-Qaeda were opposed to them. Now, this is like next level bravery. Like, these people put wanting freedom over their own lives. So when they went out to these polls and they were voting and stuff, they knew that they would maybe attempted to be killed by, like I said, Al-Qaeda or other extremist groups. They didn't care. They just wanted to vote. It was in March of 2005 that the topic of tonight's episode comes into play, and that is Leanne Hester. But before we get into her story, I'm going to pause right here for a word from our sponsor. Now, coming back to the story, Leanne Hester was born on January 12th, 1982, which at the time of this recording, it is the 12th. So, for whatever reason, if you just happen to be listening to this, happy birthday, Leanne. She would go on to enlist in the United States Army in April of 2001, just shy of the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center that would ultimately lead to the invasion of Iraq in 2003. Now, she was attached to the 617th Military Police Company, 503rd Military Police Battalion Airborne Regiment, 18th Military Police Brigade. This was a Kentucky National Guard regiment, and she knew that being put with this unit almost certainly guaranteed she was going to have a combat role that she would play well. Now, following the invasion of Iraq in 2003, Hester and her company would be deployed to the area where she would serve as a vehicle commander, and it was on March 20th, 2005 that the event that led her to be in this episode happened. Now, what happened was the 617th was escorting a 30-vehicle-long supply convoy when they were ambushed by around 50 insurgents, armed to the teeth with small arms and RPGs. Now, they were pinned by heavy enemy fire, and Hester knew that if she or her soldiers were going to survive, she had to do something. So she, thinking quickly, she maneuvered them off the road in an attempt to get them into a flanking position against the enemy, and she successfully led them through the kill zone and out of danger. Now, while in this defensive position, the soldiers relied heavily on their own rifles and M203 grenade launchers to hold their ground. And when the grenade launcher was really proving ineffective, I couldn't really figure out why, but a lot of the sources that I had when looking up the story, it said that there was something going on with the grenade launcher that led it to be ineffective. So they started just chucking grenades at the enemy. And realizing that they were really getting nowhere, Hester, along with her squad leader, a man named Staff Sergeant Timothy Nine, took it upon themselves to charge at the enemy position. So keep that in mind. She, along with this other Staff Sergeant, they wanted to get their men safely out of danger. So their thought process was, I'm going to leave my position and charge the enemy. Now, that alone is incredibly brave. Now, the two successfully cleared the trenches, and when the dust settled, there were 27 insurgents that lay dead, 6 lay wounded, and then 1 was captured. And for their actions, the two were awarded the Silver Star for their valor and quick thinking. Now, this gave Hester the honor of being the first female awarded the medal, the Silver Star Medal, since World War II, and it gave her the honor of being the first female to receive this medal for close quarters combat. Now, following her time in Iraq, Hester would move to Nashville, Tennessee, where she would take a break from the service in 2009 and become a police officer, which was something that she always wanted to do. However,
being a true soldier that she is, she was called back into service, and she actually would re-enlist in 2012 on her own accord. I realized just now saying she was called back into service, not like she was drafted. No. She re-enlisted because she wanted to. And from 2012 to 2014, she would train new recruits at the 117th Regional Training Military Institute Police School and would again be deployed overseas. This time, she was sent to Afghanistan for a total of 18 months, where she would gain the rank of sergeant in Iraq. And then in Afghanistan, she was promoted to sergeant first class. Now, there has always been this assumption that women would not be able to hold their own in combat. Obviously, if there wasn't, they would not have been barred from service for as long as they were. However, when you have soldiers like Sergeant First Class Hester, they prove that it doesn't matter who you are or what your sex is, when the time comes to show their worth, she was going to do it, and that's exactly what she did. Her quick thinking and her overall bravery saved the lives of her troops that day, and while the enemy suffered 27 killed in action, Hester and her company suffered none. They had a few that were wounded. I think the official number was 7 wounded, but they didn't lose anybody. And one of the reasons, if not the reason, that they didn't lose anybody is because of the quick thinking of Hester and Staff Sergeant 9. Now, when she charged that position, she put the lives of her men above her own and was hell-bent on saving their lives. Now, that is a mark of not only a true soldier, but also a true leader. That is probably going to do it for this episode. As I said earlier, there wasn't really a lot of information for this story. And I know some of you are going to be like, what's the point of releasing an episode this short? The show isn't just about these long stories of people who do these things, these great things in battle. It's just about getting the stories out there about these people. What Sergeant First Class Leanne Hester did was truly the terms of going above and beyond. She put the lives of her men above her own, and she was awarded something that no other female had received for almost, 50 years at that point. It's incredible what she did. It's incredible that she continued to fight after this and that she went on to be a police officer and then she went on to serve again in Afghanistan. Like, that is what going above and beyond is about. It's not about how many people you kill. It's not about how what you go through, like how much you're wounded and still survive. It's just about doing more than what is expected. And in her shoes as a female soldier, I believe that she did way more than what she was expected to do. And she did it well. She did it really incredibly well. I'm going to say the same thing that I said in the Dipper Saad Poon episode. Sergeant First Class, if for whatever reason you were listening to this episode, I hope I did it well. And I hope I honored you well. And you're a badass. That's all I got to say about it. So that's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to find us on Facebook. And now you can find us on TikTok to not miss out on any updates or news. And if you want to submit your stories for Black History Month, you can message the Facebook page at facebook.com/aboveandbeyondpodcast, or you can email me directly at above.beyondpodcast@gmail.com. Again, you can message the Facebook page at facebook.com/aboveandbeyondpodcast, or email me directly at above.beyondpodcast@gmail.com. You can even message or email me to give suggestions for other people you want me to cover. You can leave just comments, positive or negative, about the show. Everything helps. Or you can just say hi if you want. As always, I'm your host, Philip Kesterson. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I will see you next week on Above and Beyond.